We are in the next letter of Paul to the church at Galatia. So if you will take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Galatians is where we will begin tonight. And just by way of introduction, it's interesting. If you have any maps in the back of your Bible, you can turn there. In the back of your Bible, there are probably some maps back there that say something along the lines of Paul's missionary journeys, first, second, and third, possibly. If you look at those maps, and most of them will kind of be turned in a landscape fashion. If you look up towards the top, you'll see an area called Asia. If you look over to the right of Asia, you'll see a region, an area called Galatia. Right below there, you'll see another region or area called Cappadocia. All right, so you'll see all of those there. We're going to be in the region of Galatia tonight, specifically at the church at Galatia. As Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. It's an interesting book. Let me say this. The book of Galatians, the letter to the Galatians, is probably one of the most significant books in the New Testament. When you look at all of Paul's letters, all of his letters, you put all of them together. The one to Galatians is probably one of the more significant ones out of all of them. Matter of fact, his letter to the church at Galatia has often been referred to as the Magna Carta of liberty, because Paul is going to deal with the subject with the church at Galatia. And really what was going on at the church at Galatia was an interesting thing, because what you had was you had the Jews that were there, and then you had the non-Jewish believers. And let me tell you what they were doing. They were having difficulty taking what the law said and taking what grace said and bringing the two of them together and then understanding what liberty is inside of grace, inside of Christ, taking the law and taking the liberty that we have through grace and bringing the two of those together. And so there was conflict in the church at Galatia over that very subject. Matter of fact, one of the things that you're going to notice right off the bat, even good old Peter. Peter, bless his heart. Acts chapter number 2, Peter stood and preached probably one of the greatest messages ever been preached about Jesus Christ and the gospel. Well, I hate to tell you this, but Paul's going to have a confrontation with Peter in the book of Galatians over the subject of Jew or the law versus the liberty that we find under grace. And let me go ahead and just kind of give you a blanket statement as before we start this letter. And let me just say this, grace is not a license to live however you want to live. It is not. And so there are two camps here. One is the camp of the law, which everything's held under the law. The other one is the camp of grace. And matter of fact, Paul even dealt with this subject when he wrote the letter to the church at Rome. And here's what he said, because they in the church at Rome, here's what they were dealing with. Well, if grace was so magnificent and grace was so free and grace made you free within your relationship with Jesus Christ and liberty is a part of your life, then it would seem to me that the more sin is committed, the more grace there would be for a result of all of that. So basically, we could just live however we want to. Well, we remember the words of Paul. Paul said, God forbid, that is not the case. Because if you've been buried with Christ in baptism in His death and raised to walk in newness of life, there should no longer be a willingness to willfully sin on a daily basis or to seek after sin. And so this liberty that we have, true, we're free because we're not under the bondage of the law anymore. We live under grace, but grace is not a license to sin either and to do or to live however we want to. Matter of fact, if you turn to Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be all over the book of Galatians tonight. I'm just going to kind of bounce back and forth because I'm going to kind of give you an introductory message tonight out of the book of Galatians, out of Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. But in chapter 5 and verse number 1, this is an interesting verse because Paul said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it's an interesting statement that he makes. It stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Why? Because we're no longer under the bondage of the law. And I'm going to tell you something. You ought to be thankful that you're not. 630 plus different laws. And you can't keep the first one. Because Jesus, when he was asked about the law, matter of fact, Jesus was asked, he said, what's the greatest commandment of all the law? Here's what Jesus said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Then he said, the second is like unto it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, listen to me. We can't keep the first one. So what makes us think that we're going to keep all 600 and some odd different ones that are out there, not to count all of the ones that they were added to that list by the Pharisees, added in addition to all the 630 plus when the Pharisees added their own list to those. So Paul makes a very bold statement here in chapter 5 and verse number 1. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to stand fast or stand firm in that liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Now, when you go through this letter and you read it, one of the things that you're going to see, this letter discusses in very clear, emotional, and intensely personal language the basic issue of how a man is put right with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If there was anybody who had the authority to teach on this subject, it was the Apostle Paul. Why? Well, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. If anybody knew the law, Paul knew it. Paul knew the law inside and out. Why? He studied the law. And one of the things that Paul had been involved in, we all know Paul persecuted the church. And Paul had all of that foundation underneath him. So when Paul was set free on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter number 9, and Jesus Christ became a part of Paul's life, and all of that bondage of the law was gone, and now Paul can see very clearly the liberty that he has in Christ. If there was anybody who could write a more clear, emotional, and personal letter to the church at Galatia, Paul was the one to do that. And it's interesting when you go through and look at this. Turn to chapter 3 and verse number 5. In Paul's own words, the basic question is this, and this is the way the question would be framed. Does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you because you do what the law requires or because you hear the gospel and believe it? Notice what he says in Galatians 3, 5. He said, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So he asked him the question, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you because you do what the law requires or because you hear the gospel and believe it? That's the key. And so the question boils down to this. In other words, Paul is looking at the church at Galatia and he says, do you do what you do because of the law or do you do what you do because of you've heard the gospel and you've heard what faith is all about? So what is it that we do? The answer comes in a similar language as you go on through the letter. And here's basically what Paul arrives at. Go to chapter 2 and let's look at verse 16. And Paul is going to answer that question. A person is put right with God only through faith in Jesus Christ. Never by doing what the law requires. And notice what he says in Galatians chapter 2 verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. In other words, that word justified is an interesting. You know, one of the things that we do a lot of times, we're real good at this, especially as Christians and especially as Baptists, we've got our own jargon. We throw these words around, okay? And one of them is justify or justification. What does justify or justification actually mean? Here's what it means. It means in the eyes of God that we've been made just. We've been made just by God. How is that? We've been made just by God through our faith in Jesus Christ. So in verse 16 of chapter 2, Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, and you ought to underline this, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified completely, entirely. So you can't be saved by the works of the law. In other words, our salvation is not predicated by what we do. By the works that we do, our salvation is based solely on what Jesus Christ and Him alone did for us. It's by faith by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone. Okay? And that's what Paul tells them. Paul says it has nothing to do with the law. Paul said it has all to do with your relationship in Jesus Christ. Now, the reason for the letter to the church at Galatia is because of a major issue that had been raised among the Christians in Galatia. This came as a result of the question that came from the Christians in Galatia. The church being predominantly non-Jewish, okay, there were more non-Jews in the church than there were Jews. They were confronted with the problem with what to do with the Jewish law. What do we do with it? Because here's what they've heard. What they've heard is if you want to really become a Christian, then not only do you have to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, but you also have to keep part of the law. That's a contradiction. And so they were struggling with that in the church in Galatia. And there was a tendency for many Jewish converts to Christianity to continue to observe some of those regulations of the law. For instance, circumcision. For instance, several of the feasts and some of the other dates and traditions of the law. And so they were struggling with all that. Now, folks, listen to me. And I want you to get your hands around this for me tonight. There wasn't a Lifeway bookstore that they could run down to and get a book on dealing with the difference between the law and grace, okay? I want you to understand, this is the early church. Paul was the one who started the church in Galatia. And so as they're struggling with it, I want you to understand, they're struggling with separating Judaism and Christianity. They're dealing with the struggle of how do they come together? Well, I'm Jewish. Well, I lived under the law. And now I have liberty. I have faith in Jesus Christ. Now I put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ. But what about the law? I mean, the law is about who I am. You know, one of the most difficult things that you have to do with a Jewish person is to get them to understand that fact. Because they all go back to the law. Matter of fact, when you talk to somebody, and I tell you what, I love Hilton Glass to death. Hilton Glass is a good friend of mine. I remember when he came to my office. Now, Hilton Glass is what we refer to as a Messianic Jew or a completed Jew. Okay, he's put his trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but here's what I struggle with more than anything else. He said, when I talk to any of my family members, they're concentrated in one place, and that's in the Old Testament. And to get them to look past anywhere but there and the law is the most difficult thing that I have to do. So here's what he did. He sat down and he took the Old Testament, took all the prophecies in the Old Testament. He went to the New Testament and looked where they were fulfilled. And he laid the two of them on top of each other. And he's in the process of writing a book just for his family members to show all of that was in the law, where it's been all fulfilled and all completed in the New Testament, to try to get them to be able to see the truth that Paul is dealing with the church at Galatia. You don't mix the two. You're set free by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're no longer bound under the law. And so he deals with that. But what about the non-Jews? What about them that were in the church at Galatia? Were they bound by the Jewish law? Should they first submit to circumcision and then other Jewish ritualistic practices before being accepted as full members of the Christian community or even the church at Galatia? I mean, that was the big question. In other words, here comes the tough one. Must they become a Jew in order to be a Christian? And we know that is not true. The false teachers seem to have some connection with the Jerusalem church back in Jerusalem. Let's go to chapter 2 and let's look at beginning in verse number 11. And I want you to notice the conversation here. And I'm not going to get into a whole lot of detail. All I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to give you one of them mountain peak views through the book of Galatians, in Galatians. All right. And then we're going to come back and we'll look at these in more detail. But I want you to notice the conversation of Peter and Paul here in Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I want you to notice what Paul says. I withstood him face to face. In other words, Peter, we're going to have a conversation, just you and me face to face. You know, I'm going to tell you something. My personality type, okay, I don't like those, okay? I just don't. That is not a part of it. Now, if I have to, if you back me in a corner and that's the only way out, then I guess I will, okay? But if there's another way around it, I'll try to work through it as best that we can, to where we come out on the other side, we all love each other, okay? But a confrontation sometimes is difficult. But here's what Paul has done with Peter. He withstood Peter face to face. He's going to have a conversation with Peter. And because I want you to notice the last part of verse 11, Paul pulls no punches here. And notice what Paul says, because he was to be blamed. Wow. Peter, it's your fault. It's your fault, Peter, that we're in this position in the church at Galatia. Well, verse 12. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when, now I want you to notice this, when he ate with the Gentiles, okay, it was one way, but now notice the next part of verse number 12, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Now verse 13, and the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their... In other words, even Barnabas, the very one who walked with Paul, was Paul's right-hand man, his encourager, even Barnabas was drawn away as a result of it. Struggling with that issue. Let me ask you a question. How many of you right now, even in your own life as a Christian, struggle sometimes between conviction and preference? Now, there is a difference between the two of those. There's a difference between conviction and preference. Conviction is based on the Word of God and it doesn't change. But there's this preference side of us. There are just certain things in my life as a Christian I don't do. Not because of anything specifically the Bible says, but it's my preference and my serving the Lord that I just don't feel like that I should be a part of, but that's my preference. But one of the things that I don't do is force my preference on somebody else. Or the preferences that they have, I am open to those. Because here's what Paul said. Paul said, if you come to the point in your life where those become a focal point, here's what Paul said. Those things in the Bible where it's not black and white, it's not specifically spelled out. He said, but if you have a brother who feels like that you should not eat certain things, and by your actions you could cause that brother to stumble, here's what Paul said. You just don't even go down that road. Matter of fact, there are some things that Paul said, this is better that you don't do it so that you don't cause a brother to stumble in the process. And how many of us live that way in our Christian life with those around us? You know, I've shared the example with you many times. You know, it's just like the episode with Applebee's, okay? I mean, my goodness. All right, I'm going to ask y'all, how many of y'all eat at Applebee's? It's okay to raise your hand. How many of y'all don't eat at Applebee's? All right? How many of y'all eat at Chili's? How many of y'all don't eat at Chili's? How many of y'all never eat anywhere but home? No. Now, I know, Brother Charles, I know better than that back there, okay? I know better than you eat at home, okay? Snows. You know, one of the very things that Paul is dealing with here that was going on in the church at Galatia was causing difficulties, okay? Even something as simple as eating at a particular place as a Christian can cause difficulties and problems within the church. Matter of fact, I was asked about that. And y'all know the story. I've told it to you several times. For those of you who have not been here before and heard this, but after one Sunday night service in Jacksonville, Florida, had an individual that was newly saved. We had led to the Lord, baptized. Asked if he could talk to me after the service was over with and if we could go outside to talk. That's never a good thing, okay? And let me just tell you, it just has bad written all over it, okay? When they ask you to go outside to talk. So we went outside and went around the corner of the building. And he says, do you and Brother Ray eat at Applebee's? My mind starts racing. Because I knew that we did. Because we'd eat lunch there periodically. And I remember he says, have you ever paid attention to the name of that place? There's three things going on in my mind at one time. Number one, did he see me there? Number two, what in the world does it say on the building? And number three, was he in there when we went? And I'm thinking, I haven't seen him in there. Number one, apparently he already knows we've been there. So number three, what in the world's on the name of it? I said, no, I've never really paid attention to the name. He says, well, here's what it says. It says Applebee's Bar and Grill. And he quite frankly, out of absolute sincereness and genuineness, he said, well, I just don't feel like that's a place preachers ought to go eat. And I could have very easily said, well, that's your opinion. But they have cheap lunches there, okay? And we're going to keep going whether you like it or not. But here's what I told him. You won't have to worry about seeing Brother Ray and I there again. Now, what did that do? What did it do for me? What did it do for him? Well, let me tell you something. He continued coming, growing in his faith, growing in his love for the Lord. God continued to work in his life, okay? For me, I'd drive by there and I said, man, missing out on another one of them cheap lunches. No. There are plenty of other places to go, okay? So here's what Paul is struggling. He's dealing with them to get them to understand and see. Let's go back to verse 14, okay? Notice what it says. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, he said, I said to Peter, before them all, if you being a Jew live after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why in the world then do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Paul said, Peter, would you think about what you're doing? It doesn't make any sense here. It's contrary to everything. Listen, the requirement was not only circumcision, but also observance of the feast. Go to chapter 4 and look at verse number 10. It wasn't just over a circumcision issue. It was over the feast as well. Notice verse number 10. Chapter 4, verse number 10. And notice what he says. You observe days and months and times and years. Talking about the feast and all of the dates on the Jewish calendar that they had kept before. Okay? So it wasn't just circumcision, but it was also the dates that were there. Obviously, their position is that to be put right with God. It was not enough just to have faith in Jesus Christ alone. They must also obey the regulations and the law of Moses. That would be tough. That would be difficult to do. And as you go on through this letter, and I love the letter to the church at Galatia. I'm going to tell you something. It is a tremendous letter, okay, because there's so much in it. Paul writes an intensely personal letter. He knows the Galatians personally, why he started the church. So he knew what was going on. He founded the churches there, and he considers them as his children. Look at verse 13 and verse 19 of chapter 4. Look at verse 13. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. In other words, the first time I was with you, you know how I preached the gospel to you. Now drop down to verse number 19. And I want you to notice the intensely personal term of endearment that he uses to those in the church at Galatia. He says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. It was an ongoing process for Paul in the church at Galatia. Listen, Paul wanted nothing more from the church at Galatia to become what God intended them to be and then to enjoy the liberty that they had in Jesus Christ. He is deeply affected by their situation and troubled, even by their receptiveness to this new doctrine, this other gospel. Let's go back to chapter 1 and look at verse number 6. I mean, he was concerned about this. Paul hadn't been long. Listen, the church in Galatia was not that old. And I want you to notice what he says. I tell you what. Let's start in verse number 1 and just work our way down through verse number 6. And notice it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. He said, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and of our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then look at verse number 6. He said, I marvel. He said, in other words, it amazes me that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said, it amazes me how quickly it is and how easily it has been for you to have been drawn away from the gospel that was preached to you when I came to you at the first. Let me ask you a question. Is it easy today to be drawn away from the truth? Sure. Doesn't take long. That's why one of the things that I encourage all of the folks here at Ascension Baptist Church, hey, when we're here and we're in the service and I'm preaching or teaching, to have your Bible out and to have a pad and have a piece of paper and a pencil and go down putting down notes and reading and studying the Word of God for yourself. Why? I'm just a man. I didn't write it. I don't have a corner on it. And the thing about it is I have the same teacher that you have. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. And so it is something that we ought to study. Why? Because in the world that we live in today, it's easy to be drawn away from the truth of the Word of God. Well, let me share this with you. It's never changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever preserved by God the Father. His Word is true. It's absolute truth, and we know that it can be. And so the truth of the Word of God and all that Paul shares with the church at Galatia is so clear. And listen, his concern is clear to the church. He wants the Galatians to be faithful to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which they receive. And he wants them to remain in unison with Christ throughout all that they do. Here's what I want to do. I want to kind of give you a quick division of the book tonight. If you want to jot this down, you can. On the back of a bulletin, if you've got a piece of paper, if you want to jot this down real quickly, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you... The book of Galatians is interesting because there's actually six different divisions in the book. And I want to go through and give you these divisions real quickly tonight. And then as we go through them, we'll work through them in these divisions. The first five verses of chapter number 1 form the introduction to the letter. So chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 5, you can just write down as the introduction to the church of Galatia, because that's what it is. The first five verses are Paul's introduction of his letter. Now, from chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 10 is the next division. Chapter 1, verse 6 through verse number 10. What Paul does here is he begins to describe the problem, which is the occasion for the letter. So he goes through and he kind of summarizes what the difficulty is for the letter that he is writing to the church at Galatia. So that's in verse 6 through verse 10. As you come to chapter 1, verse 11 through chapter 2 and verse 21, Paul begins to defend himself or his position as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And here's what he does. He justifies the message that he's been preaching among the Gentiles, a message which is centered on trust and commitment to Jesus Christ. So that's the third division. And then we come to the fourth division, which begins in chapter 3 and verse number 1 and goes all the way through chapter 4 and verse 31. And here's what Paul is going to do. Paul is going to expound on the message now and defend from criticism by means of a theological and a biblical argument. So he's going to spend all of that time to go through now and provide a defense from a theological perspective of everything that Paul is going to say. All right, let me repeat those up through that division so far. Number one, the first division is verse 1 through verse 5, and that is the introduction. That's the introduction of his letter, okay? The second division is verse 6 through verse number 10. Verse 6 through verse number 10, Paul presents the problem, which is the occasion of the letter. The third division is from chapter 1, verse 11, through chapter 2 and verse 21. And Paul defends his position as an apostle of Jesus Christ and also justifies the message that he's been preaching among the Gentiles. And then number 4 is chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4 and verse 31, where the message is now expounded and defended from criticism by means of a theological and a biblical position. And then we come to number 5. In chapter 5 and verse 1 through chapter 6 and verse number 10, Paul deals with the implications of this message for the life of the Christian and for the church, defining what the Christian life is in terms of that liberty. Matter of fact, one of the things that you'll remember about the book of Galatians, which is tremendous, is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Matter of fact, Paul said to the church at Galatia, here's what he said. He said, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. And he presents for us all of he presents for us the fruit of the Spirit, of which there are 9 of those. And to live that way every day in our lives and to be what God's called us to be and to be the Christian that we need to be. And then finally, the last division, the 6th division in the book of Galatians is this. Chapter 6, verse 11 through verse 18, Paul concludes his letter by reference to his own handwriting, summing up the main points, and what is more important, relating his own concern for his readers and his closeness to them. And so that's the 6 divisions of the letter. And it's interesting when you get to chapter 6. Matter of fact, flip over to chapter 6. And I will tell you, this probably, and you know, sometimes as you go through and you read this letter and you get to chapter number 6, and it's just like, wow, there it is. It's just kind of right there in your face. You know, one of the things that you'll learn about me and in the ministry that I've been a part of for now close to 25 years, I believe in restoring. I believe in restoration. I don't believe that there's anybody that goes too far past that, that God cannot restore, all right? And one of the passages of Scripture that speaks more to me about that than anything else is found in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. And I want you to notice what it says. It says, brethren, talking to fellow Christians, if a man be overtaken in a fault, then you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens in verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brethren, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, then you, which are spiritual, ought to go to that one and attempt to try to restore them back to the faith. Why? Lest considering your own self that you fall in the same position. You know, and Paul dealt with that in his own ministry. Paul said, you know, Paul struggled with this every day in his life. Matter of fact, when you read all of Paul's letters, one of the things that you'll see in Paul's life, all the letters that he's written, one of the things that Paul struggled with, and I'm going to tell you, he was just blatant with it in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 7, Paul dealt with the issue of how he struggled between the flesh and the spirit every day of his life. And I want to tell you something, if you were honest tonight, and we were honest before God, we all struggle with that, between the flesh and the spirit. And matter of fact, it consumed Paul so much that he talked about the race that he was on, and he talked about that battle between the flesh. Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the darkness of this world. That's what we fight against every day. And all of those things that are in battling us every day between the flesh and the spirit, and all of those things, what Paul struggled with more than anything else, Paul said, unless after I have preached that I should be a castaway. And that's how Paul looked at his Christian life every day, that he would not be a castaway, but that he'd be found faithful to what God had called him to do. That's what he's pressing here to the church at Galatia. Just be faithful to the gospel and understand your liberty that you have in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. It's probably one of the most significant books in the New Testament. Let me tell you why. Because it deals with the Christian liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. And so tonight, that was an introduction to the book of Galatians. All right? It's just kind of all of those high peaks. All right? Now we're going to come back and we're going to take it apart verse by verse and go through and look at it and look at the way that we should live every day. Now, I'll tell you, living the Christian life is not easy. Matter of fact, we've been asked to live a life that is supernatural, and you not do it in the flesh. The only way that you can live the life that we've been called to is with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives in everything that we do every single day. I'm going to tell you something. It's daily. It's every single day. And remember this, tonight as we close. I remind you that I kind of bring this up to you all the time. Okay, every day, God the Father sets a table for you. Every day. He sets one for you every day. And do you know when He sets that table, there are only two places at that table. One is for Him, and the other one is for you. You know that song we sang tonight, Great is Thy Faithfulness? Are you ready for this? He shows up every day. Anticipating your seating at the place that He's prepared for you. And I wonder how much we miss out on a daily basis because we're too busy or it's just not convenient to show up at our place at the table that He's prepared for us. Amen? So as we think about this in our Christian life, it's so important every day that we be what He's called us to be. Amen? So, it's Galatians 5. Listen, here's what I want you to do. I want everybody in here, I want you, as we go through the book of Galatians, I want you to remember chapter 5, verse number 1. It goes like this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So I want to challenge you to memorize that verse. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Amen? How many of y'all going to take up that challenge? Anybody going to take up that challenge? I promise you it wasn't up that wall back there, okay? We're not leaving until everybody raises their hand. No, I'm just... Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in a word.